Hey, it's my pleasure to introduce to y'all Dr. Bob Mayberry. And by way of introduction, I want to first tell you a little, just one low point in his career before I get to all the other stellar achievements that God has used this man for. There's really only one low point, and that was when he was my professor of homiletics. Yes, this is the man who taught me how to preach. But just like with the IRS, after 7 years, you can't hold him for anything. So that was back in 2004, so he's clear now. So he said, you're on your own, whatever you do. But his name is Dr. Bob Mayberry. He last preached for us at a revival for us here in 2013, so he's no stranger to Good Shepherd Baptist Church. He's a graduate of Arlington Baptist College. He's the current pastor of Westworth Village Baptist Temple over in the Fort Worth area since 1982, serving diligently. He's currently also the Dean of Students at Trinity Valley Baptist Seminary and College. He's accompanied today by his lovely wife, Barbara, and their friend. And his wife, Barbara, holds a degree, an honorary doctorate, and it's a PhD. Now, that might be foreign to some of y'all, but my circle, it's very well known. It's a PhD. It's called Putting Hubby Through College. So she has a degree in that, and Sister Barbara has been faithful, and being First Lady of a church is just very, very difficult, supporting her husband and just doing what wives do. And he's very thankful, and we're very thankful for him and her. And I just want to say, Good Shepherd, this is my friend. This is my brother in Christ. And most of all, he's a God-called preacher. Would y'all please welcome Dr. Bob Mayberry.
Mayberry's friendship throughout the years, and I remember early on a conversation about making the move to this location and recognizing that your pastor is a man of vision, that your pastor is a man with a dream, and that your pastor is a man with a heart for reaching the Metroplex for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that you're blessed to have this man of God here at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. And I'd like to say congratulations for 7 years of ministry and faithfulness here that God has given you. Now, I like that number seven. I sure do. In fact, I can remember in my early years that I was so fond of seven, I could be heard saying seven. Seven, seven, seven come 11, baby. You'll figure that out in a few minutes, amen? I do thank you for coming. Now, your preacher's already done a dangerous thing. I asked him, how long should I preach? And he told me, long as you want. I understand we have lunch here today, is that right? All right, you got places for naps? Okay, well, I'm set then if you are. I'd like to invite your attention this morning to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. I would like to challenge the church. I would like to challenge you to a future. And I would like to share my heart with you this morning. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning as we honor the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your kindness. Lord, I ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit of God today. Lord, I ask you to move and work in our hearts in a mighty way. I pray that you would get glory to yourself. I pray that you would challenge the hearts of the people of God. And Lord, it'd be one here today without Jesus. I pray today would be their day to come to know Christ as Savior. Holy Father, give your blessing. I praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 4:19, and he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, I know that some of you gentlemen here this morning have got to be fishermen. We've got to have somebody in this crowd that's a fisherman. I know at the church I pastor, the Westworth Village Baptist Temple in Fort Worth, there are several fellows that enjoy going fishing. I've done my best to teach them not to go fishing on the Lord's Day. That if they do that, a whale might swallow them. Now, some of the fellows have shared their fishing stories with me. It began by telling me how big it was. And then I heard the story the second time. And the second time I heard it, the fish was even bigger. And then you ought to have heard the story about the size of the one that got away. As I was a child, my daddy used to take me fishing. And when the kids were small, we would go fishing also. Now, in our fishing, whatever we caught, we never did eat what we caught. We just went fishing for fun. One reason we didn't eat what we caught was because my wife said, I'm not cleaning any fish. Now, the Lord's first disciples were fishermen. Jesus used the concept of fishing as a metaphor, as a figure of speech. He said unto them, follow me. Now, I have a question for you this morning. Is there anybody here that wants to follow Jesus? Follow me. He said, if you will follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Right in the middle of that invitation, right in the middle of that call, right in the middle of that statement is a promise. Follow me, he said, and I will make you a fisher of men. I will make you. Here is that letter, that one single word that speaks to us about the Creator. The one who made the heavens and the earth, who created Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. He said, I will make you. Barbara and I enjoy going to Eureka Springs, Arkansas. One of the reasons we go is they have a passion play there, a renowned passion play of the life and death and crucifixion, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have what I call preacher toys there. You have Bible museums and things of this nature, and I enjoy going there. One of the things they have there on display is a potter's house. If you're familiar with the Word of God, you remember Jeremiah going down to the potter's house and watching a vessel being made. Well, at this potter's house at Eureka Springs, you've got a gentleman there dressed in first century attire who is set up to make a vessel out of clay. He has a spinning wheel and he pats his foot and turns the wheel and he pours water over that piece of clay and he uses it, he molds it, he makes it into a vessel. We have a promise from God, a promise that says, if you will follow me, I will make you. He is the potter, and we are the clay. And his design and desire is to mold us and make us. Now listen to me, don't you miss this statement. The finished product of the Christian life is a fisher of men. So simple, so profound, so plain. Follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Ephesians 2, he says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And the work of that creation is a fisherman. The design of the new creation is to be a fisher of men. The design of the Christian life is to be a fisher of men. Now, there was a story about a gentleman who had a boss who was somewhat arrogant and obnoxious. Can you imagine a boss like that? But anyway, he was arrogant and obnoxious, a proud, driven individual that was full of himself. And he was continually saying, I'm a self-made man. And he went to the house of his employee to have supper. He was invited to supper. And the man that invited him had a little boy, a son. They sat there along with his wife at the table. And the man bored them with comments about how great he was and what he had accomplished and that he was a self-made man. And the little boy piped up and said to him, you a self-made man? He said, son, yes, I am. And the little boy said to him, then why did you make yourself like this? I want to tell you this morning how you can be not a self-made man, but a God-made man. I, Almighty God, I will make you. And when the making's all said and done, the finished product is a fisher of men. Jesus said, follow me. Would you follow him? Here we have a me. He said, follow me. We've got a person identified as the me. When I say me, when I say follow me, I'm not talking about me. I'm saying follow Jesus. Follow me. In John 11, he said, he that believeth in me. John 15, he said, he that abideth in me. In John 14, he said, if you love me, follow me. We have a call. We have an invitation in the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter in verse 23. The Bible reads, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me. Is there a man here this morning that would follow Jesus? Is there a woman here this morning that would follow Jesus? Is there a teen here? Is there a boy or a girl who would follow Jesus? What an opportunity. What an invitation. If any man. Here is that universal open door and invitation from the Lord to follow him. If any man would follow me, he is offering us the greatest opportunity of our life. I'm convinced that things like this, Jesus offering this invitation in real time when he said such, had to be done with voice inflection. In other words, it had to come across as a shout. If any man, I can see him in my mind's eye, in Jerusalem, in the city, with the crowds gathered around him, with every eye upon him, I can hear him say, if any man, is there a man? If any man will follow me, if any man will come after me. But also I can hear today, in real time, the whisper of the Holy Ghost saying, if any man will follow me, will come after me. Can you hear the call? Have you heard the voice? Has God spoken to you? The call comes from the victor who, after his battle with Satan in the wilderness, said, I have overcome the world. It is the call that comes from an old rugged cross. It is the voice of one who said, it is finished. Will any man come after me? It is a voice that comes from an empty tomb that says, he is risen. If any man will come after me. It is the voice that comes from a promise that says, I will come again. Yes, yes. Come on, Jesus. Come on. Listen to me. You are the chosen. You are the called. And God offers to you this invitation. Follow me. Follow me. 42 years ago, the Lord began to work in my life to humble me, to bring me to Himself, and to work in my heart to yield my life to Him. I could hear that call. I could hear that whisper. Follow me. Follow me. Would you follow Jesus? To follow simply means to come after. He said in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if any man will come after me. We sing that beloved song, follow, follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. But will we? Matthew 11, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Isn't that a beautiful expression? I love this book. I love the Word of God. Take my yoke upon you. There were many rabbis in Jesus' day who sought disciples, who sought followers. Each rabbi had his own system of thought, his own theology, his own teaching, his own doctrine. You know how they expressed that? They expressed it in the word yoke. Yeah, the yoke. Take the rabbi's yoke. Take the disciple's yoke. Take the master's yoke. He's not talking about a wooden harness when he said, take my yoke upon you. He's talking about the things that he taught. He's talking about the things that he preached. May I share quickly with you four life models that Jesus Christ taught. And let me ask you, would you take his yoke? Would you take the master's yoke upon you? Yeah, these models that I'm speaking of, these life models, if you'll take these life models upon you, they will produce in your life godliness. They will produce in your life peace. They will produce in your life stability. A young man came to me just a couple of weeks ago, and I had baptized him recently, and he said to me, preacher, I don't have any stability in my life. That I was raised without a father. I've had my in and outs with the police, with a jail, and a life of drugs, and a life of drunkenness, and immorality. I've just had no stability in my life. My words were him, well, welcome home, buddy. Pull up a chair. I'm going to tell you how you can have some stability in your life. I'm going to tell you how you can be built on the rock I'm the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I talk about what the Master taught, Jesus is telling us how to live. Now, I know you may be sitting out there saying, well, I know all about how to live. That's real funny. I had a relative about 30 years ago tell me exactly that when I witnessed to him. I tried to talk to him about Jesus, and his response was, well, I know all that stuff. I know how to live. Well, you know what happened? He demonstrated he didn't know how to live. Matter of fact, today he's nothing more than a falling down drunk. I'm saying to you that the Master invites you to take his yoke upon you. Would you follow Jesus? First, quickly mentioning the yoke of spirituality. What is it to be spiritual? Paul talked to the church at Corinth, said, I couldn't talk to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. Some preach and teach today that if you have certain kind of visions or if you have some ecstatic experience, that is what it is to be spiritual. Let me suggest to you that's wrong, wrong, wrong. It is simple as it can be. Spirituality is simply practicing the spiritual disciplines that Jesus taught his disciples. The key word there is to abide. When we're talking about disciplines, we're talking about prayer. He teaches us to abide in prayer. He teaches us to abide in Bible reading. He teaches us to abide in worship in the house of God. I commend your singing. I enjoyed the singing this morning. Bless me. That didn't bless you. There's something wrong. Your motor's not running. You must be out of gas. Your wood is wet. It took every bit of my dignity just to sit there without jumping up and down. Amen. Songwriter put it like this. He taught me how to watch and pray. To live rejoicing every day. I'm not ashamed to say this morning, Jesus taught me how to live. He has taught me the spiritual disciplines of a child of God. And the key word is simply to abide. He gives us a yoke of spirituality, a yoke of morality. I speak about the commandments of God. I speak about the Ten Commandments of God. These commandments, no one keeps them. No one keeps them to be saved. They cannot be kept to be saved. But we seek to keep them because we have been saved. I believe in holiness. Isn't that an unusual word in our society today? And I believe as you look at the commandments, and Jesus put it this way, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. These commandments compose the holiness code. I believe in the code. I believe in the holiness code. I believe you should have no other gods before you. Jesus ought to be first in your life. I believe that you should worship no other god but Jesus Christ. No other name under heaven given among men. I believe you ought to keep the Sabbath day, that is the Lord's day. I believe you ought to honor your father and mother. I believe you ought to. You should not lie. You should not steal. You should not kill. You should not commit adultery. You should not covet. I believe in the holiness code. I seek to keep the code. Jesus said we ought to live holy. Would you take his yoke? The yoke of the spiritual discipline. The yoke of morality. May I add to that the yoke of relationship. First yoke, abide. Second yoke is to obey. And the third yoke here is to love. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. By the way, that word love there is the strongest in the Greek language. That agape word that you hear so much about. The great commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. I like all of those alls. He didn't say just one all. He gave us four alls. All, 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 all. I want to ask you this morning, are you in? Are you in? Are you all in? How far are you in? Just all? Well, come on, all in. Get all, all. How far are you in? Are you in? Some, get the rest of the way in. All, 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 all. Come on in, get all in. Hey, if we're going to be God's children in this world today, let's be God's children. He's talking about love. Learning to love. Loving God and loving our neighbors. 1 Corinthians 13. And the greatest of these is love. Key words, the Master's words. Abide, obey, love, and hang on, give. You see, I believe he taught a yoke of prosperity. I do not believe in what is called the prosperity gospel. God's not a vending machine that you can put a few dollars in and punch a few buttons in and get a reward. But I do believe this, that God blesses His people. He said in Matthew 16:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Would you have life with a good measure? Luke 6 tells us in verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. He gave us four life models. There's a yoke of spirituality there, my friend. We are to abide. There's a yoke of morality. We are to obey. There is indeed the yoke of love, and we are to love. And there is the yoke of prosperity. We are to give. Would you follow Jesus? Follow me. Now, secondly, notice what he said. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now that word men is used in a general sense. He's talking about men and women and boys and girls. In other words, I'm convinced that our focus at the Westworth Village Baptist Temple and your focus here at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church should be the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Need I say that again? We should be concerned about the souls of men and women. You see, the God-made man has a focus. The God-made man has a priority. The God-made man is concerned about the eternal destinies of others. I believe so because of divine reasons. Those divine reasons are simple. Number one, God loves the world. We should be concerned about others and where they're going to spend eternity, about their spiritual welfare, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The divine reasons are simply this. Christ died for all. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. A great commission is still the marching orders of the church. That commission says, go. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I like what Bob Gray Longview used to say, when you go to witness to somebody, what kind of person should you witness to? He said, find somebody breathing. Just find somebody breathing. Start talking to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that's the way that we ought to be. Our focus should be the souls of men for divine reason, for compassionate reasons. I say that because you know what the world needs? They need Jesus. Nicodemus, Jesus said to the religious man, said to Nicodemus. He didn't say you need more religion. You ought to come to church more often. You ought to read your Bible more. He didn't talk about religion. He said what? He told him what he needed. He needed to be born again. The religious man, he needs Jesus. He spoke to the wayward woman in John chapter 4 who had been married 5 times, was now living with another man. He didn't say, honey, what you need is another man. No, he didn't. He said, what you need is living waters. And he said to the man that had been infirm for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, he spoke to him. He said, would you be made whole? The man needed healing. But he needed more than physical healing. He needed the spiritual healing. Did you know what I needed? Did you know what I needed? I'd tell you my story if I had time. But we lack time. But it is one of grief and sorrow and shame. Drugs, immorality, and jail houses. I know people look at me, they hear my story. Not you, preacher. Not you. Say, yes, me. Amen. I'm a sinner just like everybody else. And you know what I needed, brother? I needed Jesus. And when I got Jesus, my life turned around and things began to be so much better in my life. There are divine reasons that our focus ought to be the souls of men. There's also compassionate reasons. We need Jesus. Secondly, I might add to that, the value of a soul. Matthew 8, I should say Mark chapter 8, we find that dramatic statement, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Why is this soul so valuable? One, it's made in the image of God. Number two, it's because it's a soul. It is a seed of personality. Number three, because it is eternal. The value of the soul is compared with the world. What's the value of a soul? Can you buy a soul for $100? Brother, if I could, I'd borrow some money from Brother Milbury and buy some. I know people in high places. What's the value of a soul? $1,000? What's the value of a soul? $1,000,000? What's the value of a soul? $1,000,000? No, no, no. A soul cannot be bought even with all the world has to offer. That's the value. That value exceeds our ability to understand. Indeed, I mentioned this morning, we should be focused on souls because of the reality of hell. Luke 16, he said, he spoke about the fire. When he opened his eyes, he was in hell. And he cried, I'm tormented in this flame. I believe in a literal hell. A literal hell of fire and flame and brimstone. A place of suffering. A place of sorrow. A place of everlasting separation. Did you know that approximately every second of the day, every second, 2 people die somewhere in this world and slip out into eternity? In just a short minute, 110 people will die and slip out into eternity. In an hour, 6,400 people will die. In a day, 154,000 people die. And in nearly 5 million a month, 56 million die each year. In this short 30-minute sermon this morning, 3,300 people are going to slip out into eternity. Did I mention to you today that the majority of those do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? That ought to break our hearts. That ought to put us in a tizzy. That ought to give us some concern in our souls today. Let me mention a third thought. That is this. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. First of all, follow Jesus. Second, become a fisher of men. Focus the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Thirdly, let me mention some practical ways to do that. Fishers of men and their methods. Now, I've been fishing. I've been fishing with a cane pole. I've been fishing with a rod and reel. I've been fishing with a trot line. I've been fishing with a net. And don't tell anybody. But I've been fishing with explosives. Yeah. There are different ways to fish. I believe one of the primary ways to fish, and number one, is through the use of prayer. Praying for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2, he said this, that prayer be made for all men. Listen now, catch this, don't you miss this. Prayer is the primary tool of evangelization. Let me say it again. Prayer is the primary tool. We have on our Wednesday night service prayer requests, and we write them down and pray for the needs of the church, and we have different categories laid out. And you know, when it comes to health, we're swamped with health issues. But did you know, when it comes for folks to be saved, we hardly get a word from anybody. We're so busy praying to keep the saints out of heaven. That we forget to pray to keep sinners out of hell. I believe we need to look at this and understand. And I'm not against praying for those that are sick. Don't you misunderstand me. But I believe God has given us prayer as a primary tool of evangelization. I'm convinced very few people get saved without prayer. I believe I stand before you today because somebody prayed for me. I had a praying mama I can still hear in my ear saying, oh son, I prayed for you and I prayed for you and I prayed for you. I had a praying daddy that called my name before God. I had some friends at work who prayed for me. I believe you ought to get a sheet of paper and write down folks you know that need Jesus Christ as Savior. And begin praying for those people. On a daily basis. You know what I call that? I call that prayer evangelism. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to get involved in prayer evangelism. May I add something else to that? Invitation evangelism. The woman at the well, John 4 said, come and see. Come and see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Take that expression, come and see. Did you know what statistics tell us? If you look out a congregation on Sunday morning and you've got 100 people there, 86 of them came because someone else invited them to come. What we call friends invited them, F-R-A-N-S. Friends, relatives, associates, neighbors. Everybody has friends. You ought to be working your friends. Just inviting them to come to the house of God. Saying, come and see. Well, you can tell, hey, look, we got the craziest preacher in all the world. Talking about Brother Mirabry. Come and see. Come and see what God's doing at the Good Shepherd Baptist Church. 86%. Did you realize that? 86 out of 100 folks are here because somebody invited them to come to church. You need to get busy. You need to work your friends. You need to do it for Jesus' sake. It's funny, isn't it? We have some folks at the church the other day, they were telling me about a new restaurant. Man, I want a restaurant. Ooh, I like the food. Funny, we can talk about a restaurant, we can't talk about Jesus. We ought to be saying, ooh, what a Savior. Glory, what a Lord. some fellows were telling me the other day about a new store they had gone to, and the prices in the store and all the things that they had. Man, if we can talk about restaurant, we can talk about store, we ought to talk about Jesus. We ought to talk about our church. You ought to be proud of your church. And invite people to come. I'm talking about invitational evangelism. I'm talking about something else. I'm talking about just plain old track evangelism. Giving out of gospel track. I tell our, you know, Isaiah 55 and 11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Jesus said he was the sower. I went forth to sow. He said he sowed to seed. You can sow the word of God in the form of gospel tracts. I tell the folks at the Baptist temple, y'all ought to come, we'll give you a six pack. Boy, them ears pop up then. Amen. What kind of church is that, old Bubba says? What kind of church is that? He got six packs down at the Baptist temple. We're not talking about a six-pack of Bud Dummer or Miller Low Life. We're talking about a six-pack of gospel tracts. Give you a six-pack of gospel tracts, and if you'll give out one every day, you can come back next Sunday and we'll give you another six-pack. And you can pass them out wherever you go. You can put them on car windows. You can put them in the restroom. You can leave them at the restaurant with a tip. You can give them to people. If you give out a six-pack every day there for a week, at the end of the year, you'll have given out 312 gospel tracts. There's a lady in our services last Sunday night. Our men went down Worthview Street there in Fort Worth, and nobody was home. Nobody home. And so they're hanging gospel tracts on the door. Did you know what? She picked it up and read it, came to church. I was telling them that story to encourage them. One of our men popped up. Don't you remember, preacher? You came to my house and I wasn't home and you just stuck a gospel tract in the fence. And here's this man in our church today. He drives one of our church vans. And he's out knocking doors all week long. 5 hours a week knocking doors for Jesus. I never talked to him. I didn't get a chance. He had five dogs in his yard. I was outnumbered 5-1. Stuck it in the fence and left. One of the ladies popped up and said, don't you remember, preacher, how that you put a track on my door? Here's a lady teaching our ladies Bible study. Here's a lady working in our children's church today. It happened because somebody put a track on her door. Matter of fact, they went to see some folks that visited the church and they wasn't home. So they did what they're taught to do, go next door. And they went next door and nobody was there. So they left a track on the door. Next Sunday that individual came to church. God will use His Word. Sow the seed. And if you don't see anything this side of heaven, what a joy it will be when you walk down the streets of gold and see what God has done with the tracts that you have handed out. He said, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And may I add this? I believe in visitation evangelism. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. Visitation evangelism is the backbone of the church. I believe the preachers ought to go out 2 by 2. The deacons ought to go out 2 by 2. Sunday school teachers ought to go out 2 by 2. The church ought to go out 2 by 2. 42 years ago, they came to my door and they knocked on my door. Because that church, in fact, it's not far from here. It used to be here in Grand Prairie, Texas, back in the 70s, Bible Baptist Church, pastored by Harold Brown. They wanted me to Christ. They wanted me to Christ. May I add one more in closing? That is this. As a fisher of men, we must share Jesus. As a fisher of men, we must present the gospel. We must ask folks, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? If you died today, now you don't know that naturally. I'm saying that you don't learn how to do that naturally. You need to be taught that. You need to tell your preacher, teach me. Teach me how to win somebody to Christ. Let's hold soul winning lessons. Let's equip people to go out into the community and ask folks the question, if they died, would they go to heaven? 42 years ago, they came to my house. They knocked on my door. They said to me, if you died today, would you go to heaven? And I said, even though I had been brought up in a Christian home, even though I had made a profession of faith, even though I had been baptized, the truth of the matter was, I was a lost church member. And God had brought me to the place where I was able to say, I really don't know what it's all about. And did you know there's somebody out there waiting for you? Somebody's out there. I believe in divine appointments, where God brings sinner and saint together to share with them the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men. Are you following Jesus? Would you take His yoke on you? Would you follow Jesus if you will? He said, I'll do that. I'm going to make you something. Here's what I'm going to make you. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I know the theme of your celebration is that of prayer warriors. Warriors of prayer. Well, I have a prayer for you to pray. It is this simple prayer. God, help me to be a nobody, telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Let me repeat it to you again. God, help me to be a nobody, telling everybody about somebody who can save everybody. Let's bow our heads. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and our musicians coming,